Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and hey, it's Monday, so let's start with some legal analysis on a couple of big stories in the news. And WBUR's legal analyst, Nancy Gertner, is here to do that. She's a retired federal judge and current professor at Harvard Law School. Judge Gertner, it's always good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Okay, so I actually want to start with something that happened last week, but it's an important White House policy, the new White House policy, I should say, on transgender troops. Because on Friday, President Trump issued this policy that states, quote, transgender persons with a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria, individuals who the policy state may require substantial medical treatment, including medications and surgery, are disqualified from military service except under certain limited circumstances, end quote. But this action, the policy is facing some challenge, possibly in federal court as it moves forward. First of all, what's your take on the legality of this one?
Well, the president's first policy, which was essentially an outright ban,
yep,
which was in which he entered in July of 2017, stayed in two courts. There was an appeal, and the government ultimately agreed to stay it, and so the appeals of the preliminary injunctions were stopped. This is identical to that. The only difference is that this time he's saying that after careful study, but let's pause for a moment. Under the Obama administration, there was substantial study of the transgender policy in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
All of the military forces participated in a working group. They came up with recommendations with respect to the retention of people who were transgendered, the provision of medical services, and what to do about people who were applying. That was the policy in place. It was about actually scheduled to become effective on July 2017. That study took place in 2016. Everyone bought into it in the military services. So the question is, what careful study is he talking about now?
Okay, but what about the idea that they're focusing on members of the military who, quote, may require substantial medical treatment, and that there can be exceptions made under certain limited circumstances? So, I mean, aren't those two points at which the Pentagon could say it's not as much of a blanket policy as the first one from last summer was?
It looks different, but in all intents and purposes, it's not different. The policy under Obama had made the distinction between people who were enlisting, who were sort of mid-transformation, gender transformation, and said, you know, they could be disqualified if they had not been stable in one gender identity for 18 months. But as to people who were already in service, they would not be discriminated against, and their medical needs would be taken care of just as the medical needs of anyone else would be taken care of. But the finding that this is, you know, onerous medical treatment to the military is a finding that really doesn't make sense. You could no more say, from now on, no one who is potentially vulnerable to prostate cancer could be admitted into the military. Or better yet, someone who could conceivably get pregnant. We're going to apply it to everyone. It is clear that this is a policy that's really targeting transgender people. So it's by saying anyone who may require substantial medical treatment, that's not a disqualifier. We treat everything in the military. The notion that it presents risks to effectiveness and lethality, that was already addressed. I guess the bottom line, what I'm saying is that the study that had been done only in 2016 is not undone by the president saying so.
Okay, unless they can point to something new.
Something new,
which we
that's
don't
right.
know.
That's right.
All right, okay. So, well, it's going to be facing legal challenges, so I know we'll be coming back to this probably relatively soon. Let's move on to another story, which had its latest chapter this weekend. That's the story of Stormy Daniels, of course, whose legal name is Stephanie Clifford. And Stormy Daniels has claimed to have an affair with President Donald Trump. She claims that happened in 2006, then says she was paid $130,000 to sign a non-disclosure agreement. And despite her NDA, the new blip in this story is that she spoke to Anderson Cooper on CBS's 60 Minutes this weekend. Really interesting interview. Cooper asked about the statement, the NDA that Daniels had signed, and she responded saying that she had lied on the statement and that, in fact, she did have an affair with Donald Trump. So here's a clip.
If it was untruthful, why did you sign it?
Because they made it sound like I had no choice.
I mean, no one was putting a gun to your head.
Not physical violence, no.
You thought that there would be some sort of legal repercussion if you didn't sign it.
Correct. As a matter of fact, the exact sentence used was, they can make your life hell in many different ways.
They being?
I'm not exactly sure who they were. I believe it to be Michael Cohen.
Michael Cohen being President Trump's one of President Trump's lawyers. Now, in fact, a law firm representing the president is, in fact, seeking at least $20 million in damages for what they say are multiple violations of this NDA. So, Judge Gertner, I guess my question to you is, when we say damages in terms of an NDA like this, what do we mean?
That's an interesting question. So when they're talking about $20 million, they're talking about the concept of liquidated damages. Liquidated damages are essentially damages that you don't have to compute. The contract says this is what you get on violation because it is difficult to compute the amount of damages. But every court, including an arbitration panel that looks at this, will ask the question of whether or not those damages are reasonable, the liquidated damages are reasonable in the light of the actual damages. I'd like to pause for a moment and say here, what are the president's actual damages here in the light of the Access Hollywood tape and all of the disclosures in October of 2016?
But, I mean, he would argue that it's not relevant to this case in particular.
But the question is, in what respect is he damaged? I mean, how, you know, this is not, Vice President Pence being accused out of thin air of something like this. This is President Trump. So exactly how reasonable is this as a damage figure, given the state of his reputation?
So what is the legal standard to that? Because I can imagine the president's lawyers, not even imagine, this is what they're saying. They're saying that Stormy Daniels is, first of all, violating the NDA, and second of all, making claims to an affair that they say never happened.
Well, there are two issues here. One is whether she's violating the non-disclosure agreement. That is one thing. And that's,
talking to 60 Minutes.
It certainly does, right. You couldn't, I mean, I suppose billboards maybe, like in three billboards would be the same thing. But so violating it is one thing. The damages are quite another. And all I'm saying is that $1 million and $20 million figure will be evaluated by a court in terms of its reasonableness in the light of his actual damages. And I don't see where his actual damages are. The problem with both issues, the damage issue and the violation issue, is that this is an agreement that provides for arbitration.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance here that all of this will be litigated before an arbitrator, and the proceedings will be confidential, which is why it seems to me she was going to take her chances with 60 Minutes, because otherwise this would not be a proceeding that anyone would know about.
Okay, so tell me more about this, because I had thought, when we last talked about this, and actually I think Jeff Toobin in The New Yorker may have written something similar, that I thought you had believed that President Trump had sort of lawyered himself into a corner here. In terms of like fighting Stormy Daniels' attempt at nullifying the NDA.
Well, everything has come out, so that to some degree the challenge in the arbitration forum has come out. And so that, you know, challenging all of this, it makes it clear that it happened. In that respect, I mean, a lawyer saying, oh, I'm going to fight this to the end, and the fact of the fighting of it makes it clear that it happened. But what I'm saying here is that the agreement, as in many confidential settlements, sadly, in my view, provide for arbitration of a violation. So it's not just that the settlement is confidential, the arbitration is confidential.
You're saying that could still happen in this case?
That could still happen, and which is why Daniel's lawyer has gone into federal court, or I guess you went into state court, for the purposes of challenging the bona fides of this contract. But for something that is really, I mean, to completely blow your mind, the question of the legitimacy of the contract is determined by the arbitration. Is usually, in other words, the arbitrator is determining the lawfulness of his own proceeding. That's the way it often happens.
Yeah.
Don't know whether that's going to happen here, but I think that the scurrying to make all this public now is because there's a chance that there'll be a thunderous conclusion to it.
So, okay, Judge Gertner, I have to ask. I truly enjoy these legal analysis that we get from you,
right?
Because it's pretty unique. I mean, you sat on the federal bench for years. You I don't know if you ever heard a case like this, but like the ins and outs of non-disclosure agreements, arbitration clauses, etc. But I also want to sort of tap into your, you know, your professional history as being an advocate for women, I guess. I mean, I don't want us to get too pointy-headed in our legal analysis.
Sure.
without hitting what is the fundamental question I think a lot of people would like to hear your answer to, which is, what is at stake here with this whole Stormy Daniels case and President Trump?
Well, okay, so you have to separate out her accusations on the one hand, okay? Separate out her accusations of what he did or didn't do. So she was essentially silenced by this agreement. They tried to silence her by an agreement. Signing a non-disclosure agreement is not unusual. What is unusual, by the way, you can sign a non-disclosure agreement, which says, I'm not going to talk about the case. But that doesn't mean you publicly lie about the case. So this requiring her to sign that affirmative statement of no affair is actually extraordinarily unusual. So the non-disclosure—
If the affair did, it did indeed happen.
Well, that's right. But saying I'm not going to talk about it is very different than saying I'm actually going to craft a story that's inconsistent with that. So the non-disclosure agreement is usual, and we need to look at that again for the Me Too movement. The fact that all these things get buried in a confidential arbitration proceeding is also something that we have to look at. That's one thing that this case then shares with the broader Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. What's at stake for the president? That's a whole other discussion. Half of the interview was about Michael Cohen and his payment of $130,000. If he did not tell his client,
the President
of the United States, that he was doing this, there's an ethical violation. You don't pay money on someone's behalf without, aside from how improbable that sounds, you don't do that as an ethical matter. And then he certainly would be confronting issues of campaign contributions, illegal campaign contributions, because he was not doing it on his own behalf. He was doing it for the president. If he did tell the president, then the president is also subject to campaign violations. So there is a hush money problem here, which is independent of what's going on with a non-disclosure agreement, et cetera. Then there's a whole other question floating out there about whether the president should have signed this agreement.
Yeah.
And I think that actually could go either way. It is, and I've read this agreement now. I didn't last week when I was opining about it. No. And the agreement is actually incredibly one-sided. She's obliged.
Aren't NDAs usually like that?
Well, she has to turn over whatever documents she has and tapes, et cetera. And there's a clause that says she can't disparage the president. There is no comparable clause on the other side. So there are challenges to this agreement.
She can't disparage the president about anything?
Well, it doesn't. It says don't disparage the president or his family. Right. So this was an agreement that silenced her rather big time. So there are issues with the agreement. There's an issue with the non-disclosure. There's an issue with the arbitration. Those are all problems with the underlying document. And then there's a whole separate question of Cohen's payments. In all my career, I have never tapped into an equity line for the purpose of paying damages that were due a client that I represent, and there are certainly profound ethical problems with that.
Well, Nancy Gertner is a retired federal judge and a current professor at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Judge Gertner, it's always great to have you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.